entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. Because I have plenty of all that stuff. And with me, as always on the board, is our wonderful producer, Bobby.
Hello, hello. Happy Halloween. Happy Saturday. Happy cool weather day.
All yeah, that it's all good. I like the feeling. I really like that.
Yep.
It's really nice. We don't have Lynn with us today because Lynn had some eye surgery this week. So it turns out there are cords behind your eye and a cord attached to her retina. And she was almost going blind in her eye. So she had some surgery the other day. I had to be at the hospital at 5:10 a.m. And so now she has to be on a chair, like a massage table kind of chair, portable massage table, with her head down for 7 days.
Oof.
24/7. She just gets 10 minutes. So she's a little cranky. I know you're listening because you have nothing else to do. She's like, I'm done, Lenny. I'm done. I'm like, okay, we're moving towards the finish line. We're moving towards the finish line.
I hope it's over for her soon. Get well, Lynn.
Yeah, so who you hear speaking is Maureen Rulison and Brian LeBlanc are with me today, my good friends from, where are you from?
We are
Dementia Strong.
Yeah. And the little puppies here, too.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you very much, audience.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
It's all good. So yeah,
she's somewhere over there.
Okay, she's good.
So she's laying right down by my feet.
Perfect. So we're going to have some good conversation today. But, you know, it's first I got to say our newest listeners, because Lynn always reminds me of that. We have Mary Ann from McKinney, Texas. Lynn from North Carolina, and Dorothy from Georgia. As Lynn would say, welcome, ladies. And I always say there's plenty of room around the caregiver table for new listeners, whether you listen to the show live or on YouTube or Apple iTunes or wherever they'll take me. It's good because you can listen to it when you can, or you can listen to it again. So people say to me, yeah, you know, I told my sister, you need to listen to that show from last week or something like that. So that's very cool. And so this is, you know, I'm on my healing journey from Tom, and every day I try to do one thing. So it's like, I got to get the cable changed. I got to get the car re-registered. I got the wonderful Mark Grande from Eternal Cremation delivered his remains this week. So that was kind of freaking me a little bit. But I haven't even called the funeral parlor yet. We're in a rose garden in Serenity Gardens. Very nice. So I figure every day if I do one thing, that's good.
That's good. Excellent.
One day at a time.
Yep, one day at a time. So I was very fortunate. 14 months ago, my friend Paula Stahill from Breath and Shadow Productions, you can find her on my website. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Paula interviewed my mother the last 6 months of her life. If my mother ever knew I was paying money for it, she'd be like, what? Said, why is she doing this, Linda? I go, just for the fun of it, Mama. And my mom was into fun, you know. And so the day of my mother's memorial, Paula brings me 10 CDs of my mother. So there's one with me, there's one with my daughter, there's one with my sister, there's one on her faith, there's one that she sings all the silly little songs when we were kids. And that day, she remembered all the words. You know, it was just... So I just popped that in and hear my mother laughing. Fabulous.
Well,
so we wanted to make a recording with Tom. Well, we knew it was not going to be no 6 month thing with Tom. So we did it. He came over to my house and Paula came, and he already knew Paula, so he was comfortable with that. And he just did this interview about his life. And then she edited it. And then she sent it to me, and Tom and I listened to it, and we both really liked it. And Tom said, I like it, but I don't want anybody to hear it until after I die. Do you think I can find it this week? I know there's like 3 copies in a safe place.
Just my advice to you is look where you left it.
Yeah. Well, thank God I went over to see my brother-in-law, And I'm telling him about this, and he goes, is this it? Because he's been cleaning up stuff in the house, so Tom had one too. And I'm like, yes, yes, get the CD player now. Please, get it, get it. Because I haven't heard it in 14 months. I don't remember everything. I only got to hear it once. That was the deal.
Yeah.
So it was so fabulous, though, because my brother-in-law Chuck is sitting in the chair next to me, and he's reliving his life.
Aww.
Oh, they're talking about when they played Scully in the street, when they played stoop ball, and they're talking about the grandma and grandpa, and they're talking about the 57 Chevy, you know, whatever. And to see my brother sitting next to him, and he's like, Linda, how did you do this? We just got to take the time to do this. You know, if you tell somebody you want to sit down, take that time with them to ask the questions.
Because if you don't,
it's gone. It doesn't happen.
You know, you never put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow may never come.
Right. So if you can think about it, you know, I'm so grateful I did that. I'm so grateful that I have that. And to have his voice, you know, and to have a little laugh. And for my grandchildren to hear things. There was one thing in it, a lot of it, because we've been together since I'm 19, I knew the stories. But I knew he was a Boy Scout and a Cub Scout. I knew his mother was the den mother or whatever. But I never knew when he was like 12, they had some kind of show and they needed a girl. So Tom had to wear a blonde wig and be a girl. And I remember when Paula was interviewing him, she said to him, did your mother have to really bribe you for that? And he said, no, when my mother asked me to do something, I did it.
Aww.
You know? And the time he sold a whole bunch of newspapers, if you sold more subscriptions to the Long Island Press, you could win a trip to Kennedy's inauguration.
Wow.
He said, I sold my beep beep off. And he won. He won. With some other boys, too. And they were on the bus, and there was a snowstorm, and the bus got stuck in the snowstorm, and they missed the inauguration.
Oh, wow.
But I found the ticket the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
So oh, my gosh.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah, some stuff that Tom saved, I didn't know, you know, like, because we haven't lived together for 10 years. And the other day, my brother-in-law goes, oh, there's a whole box of these cards here, and I open it up, and it's like, all these cards that I sent Tom over the years. Like, the first one I pick up is, like, 1992. And then I see it, and I'm like, this is not for today.
Yeah.
This is for a bottle of wine in my bedroom.
But you know,
a whole thing of tissues.
It's important that you have those.
Yeah.
Because you can look back on them when you have, when you're feeling better, you know, about things. I've made two videos. One to my future care partners. And I also made one to Maureen. But she's not allowed to look at it until
the time.
Yeah.
He also hasn't told me where it is, so I'm kind of hoping he'll do that soon.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at the last page that I put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could tell me, too. I would write it down, maybe.
Okay.
Okay. It's always good to have a backup.
As soon as I find it, I'll call you.
Okay. But it's true, you know, to have this opportunity to say what you want.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity. And especially if I think it's so cool if it's recorded because it's a little more serious then or something then. Yeah. Sometimes you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table and you're saying what you want and your family's going, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Well, and then I recorded a video for Brian because should I not be around and he gets real anxious or angry or anything, often hearing my voice can calm him down. So I thought if somebody else is providing him support, then they can pop that up and show it to him.
That's perfect. I talked to a friend years ago and we were talking about how this is way before COVID, where you can go into a community, you can be living in a community, and you get a lot of different caregivers. We'd be honest, a lot of places the staff changes a lot and everything. So how do you have conversation with the person in this room because you don't even know them? I said, wouldn't it be cool if they had like an iPad on the wall, which they're doing all this stuff now, and you push a button and it says, this is Mary. Mary's from Chicago. Mary did this. Mary did that. Well, now the caregiver has some conversation to have.
Exactly.
Because it's not that they don't want to. They don't know what to say.
Right.
They don't know what to ask. And many times in that caregiver season goes, oh, Mary loves dogs. I love dogs, too.
Right.
Because, you know, we talk a lot about, and people, especially people with dementia and stuff, they become isolated. Nobody's talking to them. You had that little, I saw on Facebook yesterday, you had that little clip that from like, I think last year or something that you did, where...
In Colorado?
Yeah, where yeah. Brian's talking about, so you tell them what you were talking about when someone comes up and says to Maureen.
Yeah, they say, and instead of looking at me, they would turn to her and say, so, how's he doing? In that whispered tone.
Right. Are you deaf?
And me... You know, I'm the one that, and I say, I'm right here. You got to ask me because I can still tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
But and I don't think people mean that intentionally to...
They just don't, they don't know.
They don't think because they don't have enough education about the disease.
They know that their grandparents or parents or someone, they remember them when they're in the later stages.
Right.
So... When they come upon someone with Alzheimer's, they picture them, later stages.
Right.
So they don't think that I can talk.
Right.
Little did they know.
You know he
here I am on radio, folks.
Exactly.
6 years into this, you know, I was diagnosed in 2014.
That's why, I so love your mission, We Are Dementia Strong. I'm looking to work with you guys any way we can, which we're planning a bunch of things we'll talk about a little later. But... I think it's so important for you to have this voice because there are many people with dementia that have no voice.
Right.
Nobody's talking to them about anything.
Well, you know,
the doctor doesn't even talk to them.
That was
same thing.
We discussed that a little bit on our show, our Facebook Live this morning. But you know, so many people they concentrate on me, but. The care partners are the ones that deserve so much more credit than what they do because they're the behind the curtain.
Yeah, that nobody sees.
Right. I always try to bring Maureen out
right.
to be with me, to be part of this because she's an integral part of this whole journey.
Exactly.
And without her, we may not agree on some things.
That's life.
Right. But... She knows what is best for me. I think I know what's best for me. But I can say that I'll give it 98% of the time. She's right. I'm not going to give her the whole 100% because I'm...
Well, you know Norm McNamara, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Norm. So this was probably, I don't know, a year or so ago. He's doing a thing on Facebook. And he comes on, and his face is bloody cut up. What? And he says, you know what? Nobody realizes how much Elaine does for me. Nobody realizes that Elaine shaves me, that Elaine picks out my clothes for me, that Elaine does that. And this morning, I was very impatient and decided I was going to shave myself.
Mm.
But I thought it was so wonderful that he could share that.
Right.
And that he could share that with people in two different ways to think about the care partner, but for also the people to realize that he realized it. That he realized it. Because I think sometimes I think people with dementia just don't know anything about what's going on.
So we're doing a presentation with a company up in New York City later on this month, next month, I'm sorry, November. And it's Living with Dementia, Can Humor Help?
Amen.
So I've been doing a lot of the scientific research about humor. And one thing that I found out, and I'm sure everybody else in the world already knew this, and I didn't, but one thing I found out is that the two frontal temporal lobes, dementia does not affect the right temporal lobe. And what we process in the right temporal lobe, among other things, is humor. And so... Communicating, connecting with someone with dementia, with humor,
it's you're getting good for everybody. It's for them. You're hitting the right part, and for you, because then you can breathe.
Right. Well, and I realize everybody's sense of humor varies.
Right.
And so you kind of have to find. I mean, you don't start off with, something really super personal.
Right.
But I find that when we have to talk about difficult things, if I approach it humorously first, it eases us in to the difficult conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also, humor, for some reason, will allow me to remember that. rather than a serious discussion.
Okay. Yeah.
So I may not remember everything about it.
Right.
But I remember the feeling. I remember just something might just pop up into my head, and I remember, oh, that we were making fun of that, or we were laughing about that.
And isn't so much of a conversation the feeling?
Yeah. Yeah.
With all of us.
Very much so.
All the time. With your tone, with, you know, how you, you know, that's another thing that gets me. So, Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, I want to talk to that person.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the other thing that is in the right temporal lobe is language, not your everyday language, your recall of words.
Okay.
But swear words. What some people might consider inappropriate conversations, let's just put it that way. And yeah, I know, no bleeping, don't worry.
All right, my breathing's down now.
Have your finger on the switch, buddy.
I'll just hold it.
And so a lot of times when persons living with dementia cuss, or talk about things that we in society consider,
right,
they're reaching out to us in the part of their brain that's working that they can touch us with.
Right.
So we need to not be so, like we've never heard that before.
Right.
And I must admit that I use colorful language every now and then.
And it's usually preceded by, I changed my password and I can't remember.
Okay, yeah, that's, well, I use language with that too. Oh,
my goodness. But that's frustrating because I pick one that I know I'll remember until tomorrow comes. And then I can't remember.
Right.
And I got it. She tells me, write it down. And it's like, I'll remember. Yeah. And then the next morning comes and I'm trying to log into something and then she hears my favorite expression. and Bella goes running away from me at that point. And then she just sits there and says, forgot your password, didn't you? Shut up.
And I tell him, you shut up.
And then the laughter ensues.
Right.
So yeah. We do a lot of laughing, though. We don't, you know, she never laughs. Well, she'll laugh at me, but not in a rude way.
Not hurtful.
No, not at all.
Right.
And it's
and she laughs at herself a lot.
A lot, yeah. And I do, too.
Yeah, and I think that's so important.
We go back and forth with that. And it's all that part of engagement.
Yes.
Without engagement, that's why it's hard for a lot of people to understand that I have Alzheimer's. And I
you don't look like you have it.
Really? Thank you. Why don't you shut up? the thing is that the engagement part is so important.
Yeah.
That it keeps everything moving.
Well, look at this whole thing with COVID.
Yeah. Oh.
I hate the word social isolation. I think that's my tip this week, I think, is about that. It's physical distancing. It's not social distancing. We can be as social as ever.
Right.
We can find different ways to do that.
Right.
Because that social isolation is the worst. There was just something on the news this morning that some woman was really having troubles getting over her grief. Her husband had died and like 3 years ago, and she's not leaving the house. And they try to explain to her your health and everything. Just you being home in that household by yourself and saying no to everybody. Your health is down. She's agreed with them to try to get some help, and her family wants to come in and help her.
Mm-hmm.
But that 50%, you'll die 50% sooner.
Right.
That's crazy. We're human being creatures made to.
Right.
That's how we were made.
Yeah.
And like I tell Maureen at least once a day of how much I appreciate what she does for me, how much I love her, because I feel like if something happens to me that day, she's going to know
yeah.
that how much I appreciate her. But, you know, the COVID thing, when you're with someone 24/7,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
day after day after day,
it's tough.
You tend to, you know,
get a little snappy every now and then.
Yeah.
I see Brian wake up in the morning and he opens one eye and looks over and like, oh man, it's still her.
She's still here. Well, that, you know, that dream wasn't true.
You know, with Tom at the end, he was, you know, he had so much agitation. This was like 3 weeks before he passed away. And they had medication here that I could give him some.
Yeah.
And he's like a virgin. He never, you know, and I'm like, he was yelling at me. And I went over there and I said, Tom, please take one of these pills. I said, because if you would have died last night or if you would have died this morning, the last thing you would have yelled at me. And mm-hmm. I don't think you, and he was like, oh, I don't want that. So, you know.
Right.
It's, we have to, we're care partners. Well, we have to be very cognizant.
That's why it's a partnership. Brian is as responsible for doing whatever he can to care for me.
Right.
As I am to care for him at my whatever level I can. And I will remind him of that. I mean, not rudely or,
no.
You know, well, sometimes. But
yeah.
But I will remind him. Like today when we were driving here, I wanted to get a Diet Dr. Pepper from Chick-fil-A. Little plug. And he was all upset because I didn't let him take the time to get out and pump the gas and everything because I was in a hurry. And I said, okay, this is going to be all about Maureen time, okay? Nothing about Brian, all about Maureen. And he was not happy for a little while. And I said, don't care, all about Maureen.
because I feel like I'm helping.
Right.
But I understand that she can.
She was on a mission. She had to do this.
Well, this is an admission of me doing things. Trying to get out of the car, I have to pick up Bella.
Right.
Holding Bella, I go to get out the car. Guess what? I'm still buckled in.
Right.
Now, you think I would learn that? No. Every single time I try. And so now she says, don't forget to unbuckle. And it's like, I know.
Yeah.
And then I try to get out the car, and I'm still buckled in. It ain't easy being me.
No. But right now, we need to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents, and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So anyway, what you want to think about this week is maybe you can make an appointment for yourself to get a checkup, you caregivers out there. Because you're busy taking your loved one for their checkups, and many times you don't take care of yourself. And that's really, really important. And maybe your neighbor could come over, or your friend, and spend some time with your loved one while you go to the doctors. Probably make it a whole lot easier. And, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, because, you know, I'm always saying the caregiver's got to take care of themselves. If you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one. Sounds a little harsh, but it's the truth, because if you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of them. And if something happens to you, then what? So please think about that.
Linda, Brian says that to me regularly. What's your number one fear?
That she's not going to be here.
Right.
If I lose her.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a scary thought. And I don't mean to make it about me. But it just scares me.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen? What would my future look like without her
right.
being in my life?
Right. Somebody just said on Facebook, it's so wonderful to hear from someone with Alzheimer's, living with Alzheimer's. And this is what we're out here to spread the word about this and to have this conversation. Because it's so very, very important.
There's a saying in the dementia world, nothing about me without me. They don't want you, people living with a dementia-related illness, don't want you talking and making decisions about them without including them at whatever level they can. And that, Linda, that may be they're just sitting there. They're still participating.
Right. as long as you engage them.
That's right.
Right.
You know, years ago, Carol McKenzie had this program when she was going, it was Pacific at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she would go in there just to, you know, to have some engagement and entertainment. And they had the big, you know, what do they call it? Parachute thing, you know. Well, they would bring this one woman in all the time. And she was just sit in the chair. She didn't really open her eyes. Well, they found after a short period of time that she liked horses. So every time they'd come, they would just bring her a horse, whether it was a stuffed animal horse or a statue horse or whatever. And then one day they're sitting around having a conversation. Somebody says something about horses, and she raised her horse.
Oh.
Because they gave her that opportunity. If they would have left her in her room or didn't take the time to find out that she liked horses, that never would have happened.
And that's one of the reasons that we are huge proponents, not of putting people with dementia in a room with crayons and paper, but doing art therapy. When you have a accredited, trained art therapist being part of everything, they know how to draw people out. They know how to interpret what's, and to ask questions that in a way that, we have a friend, Angel Duncan, she's down in Fort Myers, that's an art therapist. She has the most marvelous stories about, like, this one lady had not spoken for over 3 years.
Oh my God.
But through art therapy, she was able to communicate. Her family was not coming to see her because they didn't think that she knew they were there. But her story that she did in art was how good they were, how much she loved seeing them, her favorite color. Every time that Angel tells her stories, I'm like boo-hoo crying.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She never lets me be on camera with it because I ugly cry. So, and so, you know, we do art therapy at home. I don't just have our, you know, Brian, we also color on our phone on an app. That he finds that extremely therapeutic.
That's cool.
I was just about to say, you can come over to our house in the evening, and we're sitting around in our pajamas, the TV's on, and we both have our phones, and we're coloring on these apps, and you still know what's going on on the show. But
you're just chilling.
Yeah.
And stimulating.
Stimulating your brain.
Yeah. And stimulating.
And creating.
Yeah, and creating.
Well, you know, and the whole thing is too, like, sometimes, so many times people will come to me and they'll say, okay, Mom, just sit in the chair. Well, if you don't let her do anything, she's just going to sit in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide you can cut the fruit salad so much faster, who are you serving? You're not serving her. You're not helping her.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to find some kind of purpose. So there was this one woman who came to me and she goes, my mom just follows me around the house all day and blah, 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 blah. I said, can I come meet your mom? So I go meet her, and Mom was a teacher. So first we complained about how rotten the kids are to the teachers, you know, and then how they're underpaid and how they have to use their own money for supplies and everything. So what we do every Monday is we give Mom a big piece of poster board. And Mama, this week the kids, next week the kids are going to be learning about flowers. So we need you to cut out all the flowers out of this magazines and glue it on the poster board, and you can't have any white spots. And it takes her like a week to do it, like 2 hours a day. She sits at the table and she does it. And then her daughter actually started bringing it to the school. And then kids started writing her thank you notes.
Right.
And then they Skyped with her.
It's all about engagement. Yeah.
She gives her something to look forward to.
And purpose.
Yeah.
She has
She's helping the teacher.
And she's connecting with the children, which she had has a passion for.
Right.
And we talked about COVID. COVID has taken away from persons living with dementia what they'll never get back, and because they don't have, they're not living in their purpose.
Well, and they haven't even got to see their family, a lot of them.
I know.
Right.
I know.
It's painful.
I'm so tired of people saying, "Well, when we get back to normal,
this is a new normal."
People, and I don't think it's just persons living with dementia. I think anybody who's got any life-altering disease or disability, they're never going to get this time back.
Right. Well, so, like even in the end with Tom. Yep. Okay, I'm dying and I can't go out.
Yep.
I can't go out of the house. He wanted to rent a convertible and drive around. He wanted to do this. He wanted to do some different things. He couldn't do it.
We talked about that, about renting a convertible and going up to go see the fall foliage. But we realized if we did that, we'd turn to icicles. But we were thinking about doing that. I don't know what it is about the convertible, but just lets you...
It's like freedom.
Yeah, and it's to get closer to nature.
Yeah, connect you with the earth. Yeah. And the whole. Yeah. You know me, I take my Good Morning Seminole pictures every morning. I'm out there. It's so important. And I started trying lately to even be more cognizant of things like just when I'm washing my hands, how nice that soap feels on my hands. And how glad I am that I have nice, warm, running water under my sink. Mm-hmm. And how nice does this towel feel? We're like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Right.
There's, sitting next to Tom for a couple weeks there in the chair gave me a lot of thinking to do. Yes. About a lot of different things, but really, and really paying attention to some just very simple, basic things, but that makes you feel joyful.
Well, take the old saying, take time to smell the roses.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to miss them.
Right.
Miss an opportunity.
I remember one time being in New York City because my stepmother lives in Greenwich Village. So wherever I am, I take a good morning picture. There was tulips all up and down Fifth Avenue. Beautiful tulips. We don't get a lot of tulips here, so I'm taking all pictures of the tulips. And she lives on the 15th floor, and I go upstairs, and we're talking about blah, blah, blah. And her girlfriend comes over, and she's like, Linda, show her the tulips. And I show her the pictures, and the woman goes, where are they? That wow. street you just walked down. They didn't bloom just for me to take the picture. You know, she walks up and down the street every day.
Yeah.
So, Brian... as with other people living with dementia, sits in the same spot a lot. And what I realized I needed to do was build that part of the living room that he looks at all the time. I needed to build it so that he had ways of interacting while I'm working in my office. Bella, our service dog, was one of those things that I wanted, but I got him a small 15-gallon aquarium, and so he can see, watch the fish.
I love that.
We have a picture wall of pictures that say I love us, and it's all different places we've been together and things we've done together, and our granddaughter Emma is up there with it too, and of course the TV's there, but he interacts all day long with that.
Yeah, somebody was just telling me recently in one of the support groups, I don't know, so you know how when you're watching TV and then the screen goes black and you got to press the button for it to go back on, a lot of them have mm-hmm. that interrupt. I don't know how they did it, but on theirs, it doesn't go black. Family pictures just come on there.
You can do that with the Fire Stick.
Yeah. With the Fire Stick?
Yeah.
You can load your photos on off of your phone or for your laptop, whatever, and so that when it goes black, all your photos come on. And you can sit there for hours. I mean, I have thousands of photos.
Yeah.
And you can just sit there and you say... wow. And Maureen taught me this. You and I take lots of pictures. You may get to the point where you look at a picture and you may not remember where you were, but you remember the feeling that you got when you were taking that picture, because you took that picture for a reason.
Right.
And you remember that feeling. And it's that warm, snuggly feeling you get.
Yeah, and you just...
yeah.
You can breathe fresh air.
Exactly.
Sometimes just standing in the grass, or sometimes just standing on the beach, or you know, whatever. I'm walking through the botanical garden and just being so grateful.
Yeah.
So
it's the little things in life that make the biggest difference.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're just so busy. You know, it's even like some people, they eat and then they take a bite and they're like, Other people are like, and they just like shove it down their throat.
I'm home. He's on the first bite, and I'm done.
She's already getting up and bringing the dish to the kitchen, and it's like I'm going.
I was out to dinner with somebody last week. He took his credit card out after he took his last bite. I was only halfway through my meal.
Yeah.
Well, it was good. I have to bring home for the next night, but
exactly.
But really, yeah, I just think there's so much more, and many times in your life, you're working, you're busy, you're bringing up a family, whatever. You don't have this time to spend together.
Right.
You have this opportunity now to spend together. What are you going to do with it?
We do a lot of laughing.
Yeah. And maybe you're renting a car and you're going for a ride in the convertible.
Yeah.
You know, or you're going into Disney World, or because I know you like Disney a little bit, right?
I told Brian I would take him over there, drop him off as long as he had a place to quarantine for 14 days after he came out. Good, he's not coming home.
He's not ready yet.
No, he's ready.
No,
I'm not
ready. She, yeah.
But, you know, I try to find projects that Brian and I can do together. And one of the projects that we started that we are now going to be, thankfully, having you on board with us.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
It's a whole big project, but how it started was we wanted to find a faith-based community that had a dementia-friendly service. I called, I emailed, I looked on websites, and couldn't find one. So
sad.
I bought some books. I read about them, and we would like to get the input of people throughout Pinellas County as to how we can get, let's start with one.
One church.
Mm-hmm.
One
temple,
non-denominational.
Whatever, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Faith-based, service that is for persons living with dementia and their care partners. Because our faith is very important to us.
Yes. I don't know how people get through life without faith.
And I
will say that faith-based caregivers are much better care partners.
I really believe that. We want to spread out and make this a dementia-friendly world.
Yep.
And we want to make dementia-friendly businesses and everything. But I would like to see us start with faith-based communities.
Yeah.
And Linda, having you with us, makes me believe it's going
to
happen.
I'm very excited. But we have to hear from our wonderful sponsors right now, and then we'll talk more. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're off. That means you're supposed to get your pen and paper because I got good stuff to tell you. So there is a six-week course called Managing Caregiver Stress. And if you're interested in it, you can sign up. It's a free six-week course. You just go to www.sustainablecaregiving.com. Sustainablecaregiving.com. If you didn't write it down quick enough, email me. I'll give you the information. Also, November 10th, Linda Burhand, you know her?
I've heard of her. She's pretty good.
Oh, thanks. I'll be doing a Zoom presentation, Caregiving in the Holidays, From Stress to Success. So you can manage your holidays and yourself, and I'll be giving a lot of great tips on that. So if you're interested, just go to my website under events. You see the little button you push, and you can register for that. The Point is having a Veterans Day picnic November 10th. At the Point War Veterans Memorial Park, shelter number 5. If anybody's interested in that, they can go to tdacey@inspiredseniorliving.com. And one last thing, besides my support groups and Debbie Sebsell Savages and a lot of other people, Alzheimer's Association also has different support groups and different Zoom events. Now they've picked up a whole lot more than before. I think the way it is now, you could probably find a support group every day somewhere. Where you couldn't do that. A couple of years ago, I was like the only chick in town that was doing it on Karen Truman. But now with the opportunity with Zoom and everything else, we have so many more opportunities. The most important thing is to get into a support group. It really is, because you'll find out about resources. You know that you're not the only person. You get great ideas that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. I learned something every time, and it was very nice this week when I did one of the support groups because they cared for me, which was very fabulous. Because you build a relationship with the people in your support groups. You know all about their families and everything. All right, let's get back to talking about, before we know
that's
the show is over.
Care partnering is about.
Right.
Caring for each other.
Yes.
That can't all go one direction.
No. There has to be a balance with everything.
That's right.
All right, so let's talk about more about going to these churches and stuff.
Well, and again, I want to say we're going to keep growing this, but we're looking for faith-based leaders and communities that would be interested in being given the tools to know how to create and hold dementia-friendly services. And by dementia-friendly, it doesn't mean the care partners can't also attend. They can.
Right.
We will be there in support of them. Not just initially, but in an ongoing fashion. But I'm going to tell you that it's my belief, so this isn't Linda talking, this is me talking. It's my belief that because faith-based leaders have such full plates, that unless the need is brought to their attention, they are not aware or can't make time for it.
And some of them don't even know we're available.
There are 507,000 people living with dementia in the state of Florida. That's diagnosed.
Yeah.
So let's say each one of them has a care partner. That's over 1 million people in the state of Florida who are looking for a place to have themselves fed spiritually.
Well, you know, one of my caregivers, this is a while back, she called me up and she said, you know, I can't go out of the house with my husband anymore. I just can't. She goes, I want to go to church. I don't want to give up going to church. I just can't take him to church anymore. And she said, I finally had the nerve up because my neighbor was always asking if he could help me. And he's Jewish, she said. And I went over and I said, could you hang out with my husband when I go to church? And he said, I would love to do that. She said, when she came back that first week, they said, we don't need you here. So she gets like 3 hours every Sunday morning. So that's one solution. But if her church had somewhere where she could bring him to church with her, that would have been wonderful. I don't understand why we don't have this. I don't understand why Disney has a place for dogs and not for people with dementia.
Well, and I never ever want to compare persons living with dementia with children, and I am not making that comparison. But they have children's church.
Right. They have Sunday school for children, so why can't they have Sunday school for people with dementia?
Why can't they create a service that is, and it's simple. It's
very simple.
Really very simple.
Yeah.
And again, talking about the right frontal lobe, so much of what the religious, the spiritual learning is in that right frontal lobe. People with dementia don't forget the old hymns. They don't forget the rosary, the prayers, the rosary. Yeah. And I'm sorry that I'm not more up on the Jewish faith and other faiths. I'm sure that it happens for everybody. But I don't really want, I'm not worried about how you worship God. I want to make sure there's a place you can do it safely.
Yeah. And at the same time, we'll be educating people.
Yes.
Because there are people, we know how many people are out there dealing with somebody and don't know their aunt from their aunt. And they don't know that they're a resource. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know what to do about, they don't know about redirecting. They just don't know.
Right.
If we can open up that conversation in their church, that's a huge door to open. Because I know people come to the parish nurses many times, and the parish nurses don't have all the answers. There's been times that my minister at Unity of Clearwater has referred people to me. She said, can you help them, Linda?
Well, I was disappointed when I reached out to several of the larger denominations and asked, do you have this? It was not like, oh, no, we don't, but...
Let's talk about it.
No, it was like, nope, we don't.
Well, if you're out there, all right, so if you're a listener and you're out there and you belong to a church and you see the value in this, talk to us. Talk to us. Refer us to somebody. We'll just have a nice conversation. We can come see them live. We can do it via Zoom, you know, whatever it is. But I know there are people listening to this show right now that would want that, that would help for that. And if you can open any doors for us to give us that introduction, would be wonderful. Because not only are we going to be helping your loved one, we're going to be helping you, and we're going to give an education to your whole community. And I think that's huge. Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are many elders in our community, non-dementia elders, who also want a purpose in life. And wouldn't it be awesome to be able to train them to be able to help?
Yeah, and wouldn't it be awesome to train some of those kids in the church?
Absolutely, intergenerational.
Right.
To do it together. I mean, it'd be fabulous.
And again, we don't want to just drop you. We'll be there to support you.
Yeah, always. Always. All right. It's almost time to wrap it up. Tomorrow morning, I will be putting up, not just me, 440 flags for the Field of Honor in Seminole on 113th across from St. Pete College. If anybody would like to come and help us, it's a big project. but last year, we had some Boy Scouts come in, some people from Duke Energy. If you want to come down, or you just want to come down and see the fabulous flags, we'll be there tomorrow morning at 8:30. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I really appreciate you. You're going to hear much more from We Are Dementia Strong and I, and about some new things we'll have coming up.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Linda, for everything you do.
It's been a pleasure.
Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. It's a wrap.
Should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should look in the blow. Keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.